What about now? What about now? Now you hear me? All right. Y'all still don't hear me? I'm talking to them back there. Okay. From the two songs that we played, you know, sometimes because we don't have song leaders or we don't have musicians, it kind of changes the atmosphere. But there ain't nothing that should change the atmosphere when it comes between us and the God we serve. And in the Word this morning, we're going to reflect back a little bit on Proverbs chapter 4. I know Pastor done that whole chapter about wisdom. And, you know, while we were in Indiana the first part of the year, we were there a little over 3 weeks, and several times throughout that stay, we were in the cabin, and several times the Lord had me go to that chapter. Then just recently, we were in Thomaston, Georgia, and the Lord had me go to that chapter again. And then when we got home, Pastor teached on that whole chapter. He taught on that whole chapter. And, you know, sometimes we have to go back. If you ever find yourself going back to the Word of God and reading something that you already read, it's because you never got it the first time. Or you never got it the first 5 or 6 times. But one thing about God, He cares so much that He works out every detail of our life when we need to hear what He has to say. You know, I was thinking this morning, I got up and went sit on a couch and just nothing was on. And I thought back, you know, we were in Thomaston a couple weeks ago. And I didn't even go there to preach. We were going to be in the area, and I called Pastor Mark and said, "Hey, if you don't mind, we'll swing by there and spend the day with y'all." And it was either that or I just drive all night and get back home. But it was easier just to drive 3 hours instead of 11 hours. So we got there, and we're up talking. And one thing, you know, I've been to different places to do ministry, and one thing Pastor Mark understands is that when we get there, we don't talk about the church. We don't talk about nobody in the church, because he understands the way that we're used in a ministry. So we had dinner that night, and we up talking, and we went to the apartment next door, and he come knocking on the door. He says, "Hey, you going to do the service in the morning?" So we got up the next morning, went to church, and they had song service. You know, they had Sunday school, and they had song service, and I got up to minister. And when we're away, we minister in a total different way than we do when we're here. You know, in fact, I didn't even preach. I just pretty much just ministered to people one-on-one. And, you know, sometimes God releases us in that area here, but it's hard to do that type of ministry when you're around people every day. Because the first thing people think is, well, he's seen that, or he knew that. But I'm saying all of what I said to say this. There was a lady there on Sunday morning, and I walked down the aisle. Because their church, they don't have seats in the middle. So I walked down the aisle and I looked to the left. And there's a lady sitting there. And the Lord says, I'm going to give you a word for her, but she's not ready. So I ministered to a couple people and I walked down the aisle and I pointed at her. I said, I need you to come up. Of course, when you do that and you point at somebody, everybody looks around. Like me? Yeah, you. But I ministered to her and told her some things that only God knew. And in ministering, you know, I can tell when she opened up and allowed God to completely take control. It just changes the whole attitude of a person. It changes the whole outlook of a person. And that night, we went back to service. But before that service that night, we all went to the same place to eat, and the lady and her mom shows up, and she came up to the table as she was leaving the restaurant. She says, you just don't understand. She said, but I just want to say thanks for obeying what God told you to do, because nobody knew what was going on. But see, about 2 weeks before we went, I called Pastor Mark and I said, hey, I'm going to be in Savannah and we'll leave Savannah if you don't, we want to pass through Thomaston. And it all worked out. And he called me a week before because he wanted to make sure he had the right date. And I remember telling him when he called me back, I said, look, Pastor Mark, we're coming through, but just because we are passing through don't mean we have to speak. You know, it's really not what we're coming for. But God knew better. So, you know, she came and she thanked us and she said, you know, you just don't understand what happened. She wasn't even from there. She was there to visit her mom. And I told her some things about her past that nobody knew. But one thing I remember clearly is God said, your past is the past. And see, a lot of times in our walk with God, we want to revert back to the past. And, you know, it's not a bad thing to revert back to the past if we're using it to remember where God took us from. But sometimes people remember the past and they crave a hunger to go back to it. See, that's why God gave us Proverbs chapter 4. To have wisdom, to have knowledge, and have understanding how not to revert to want to revert back to what we used to do. Because if the old man would be good enough, there would have been no need for Jesus. And, you know, I want to just share this because the Lord laid it on my heart several times in the last few weeks. Before we left to go to Savannah, I was in my shop and I put the Bible CD on and I listened to all of Matthew and most of Mark. And not once. You know, you can listen to all the Gospels, you can listen to all the words of Jesus. Not once did Jesus ever blame somebody else. Even though he was all man. You know, that's something that we have a hard time getting the church to understand. Jesus, when he was on earth, he was not God. He was man. He was all man, just like you and I. But not once did he ever say, Father, it's their fault. Because they sinned, I'm not going to do this. He was sinless. He never sinned once. But he took on the sins of you and I. He paid the ultimate price. He paid the price nobody else could pay. And we take it very lightly. In the church world across America, we take that fact very lightly. You know, I've been around people that they grace, 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 grace. You know, if we dwell on grace too much, we take grace for weakness and we think we serve some weak God. We serve an almighty, ever-loving, ever-caring, and everlasting God. All-powerful, there's no one like him. And sometimes we just need to let go and let God. You know, the Lord showed me, because a lot of times people want to, they question, well, why does this area in my life look so familiar? The Lord woke me up one night. He said, the reason people look at things that they've been through before and they seem like they're back in that spot, he said, they've been around the same mountain so long, they're starting to dig a ditch. You know, you start walking in one spot for so long, you're going to wear it out. You can tell somebody's been there. I'm not talking about with the vehicle. I'm talking about walking. You can walk in that spot day after day, time after time, and eventually you'll have a trail cut. There'll be a rut cut. And we've been around some situations, we've been around problems in our life so many times that we're starting to dig our own ditch. And we want to know why we're having to jump up to see where God's at. It's time to get out the rut, it's time to get out the ditch and get where God has us. How do you do it? You get wisdom, you get knowledge. And the scripture says, in all you're getting, get understanding. Why did he say that? Because if we don't understand how to use wisdom, we're going to find ourselves in trouble. See, he don't only give us wisdom, but he wants to teach us how to understand. He don't only give us knowledge. He wants to teach us how to understand how to use wisdom and knowledge. Sometimes we go around saying, well, I have it, but we don't know what to do with it. That's like having somebody give you a brand new car and you never put the key in ignition. The car represents wisdom. The car represents knowledge. But until you take the key and you walk out there and open the door and put the key in ignition and take a ride, the car does you no good. And sometimes that's what we do. We look at wisdom, we look at knowledge without understanding. And we just look at it. We never use it. But God's trying to get us to understand. He gave it to us for a reason. Why does he represent wisdom as her? Think about the first time the guys in here, you met your wife. You wanted to impress her. You looked at her in a way that you probably don't look at her no more. Because you were trying to get her attention. But see, sometimes I believe that God represented wisdom as a her. Because what did God give Adam? A woman for a helpmeet. Because he had nobody to help him. Did it mean that she would come and take control? No, it meant that she would help him and he would help her. But who failed? When the serpent came, who failed? The guy that was supposed to take control, instead of saying, no, don't do it, because he was right there standing beside her when she partook of what she shouldn't have, he partook of it with her. So therefore, after all the sin entered the world, you say, well, can that happen to me? Listen to me. Adam lived in a perfect place. But when Satan got cast out of heaven, listen, Satan was right up there, not as God, not God, but he knew everything God liked. That's why he tempts us in so many ways. And that's why God wants to give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, because the enemy comes in as a spirit. And there is such a closeness to those spirits. If we're not careful, it will deceive us just as it did Adam and Eve. But without wisdom, without understanding, wisdom will be like the car sitting in the driveway that we never use. We have to have understanding how to use wisdom. We have to have understanding how to know the difference between the two spirits. How do you get that? You spend as much time as you can with God. If you have your Bibles, go to Proverbs chapter 4. In verse 1, we're going to read this. And then I'm going to go in and share with the rest of the stuff that God laid on my heart. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, and forgive. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. And you can go when you get home and finish reading that chapter. It's really a powerful chapter. It's a powerful word. But you know, sometimes we get going through things and we think God done forgot about us. Well, you know, I got asked a while back, how do we handle situations? The question was, how do you handle stuff that the enemy attacks you with? And in the question, there was a statement made. You act like nothing ever goes wrong. Well, I can't dwell on it. If I'm going to be the guy God called me to be, I can't dwell on what goes wrong. I can't live on what goes wrong. But let me tell you, just because we're in ministry don't mean there ain't times we're attacked. Because the enemy attacks everybody. And if you feel like you're being attacked more than somebody else, maybe we need to get more of God in us and start thinking about who God is and quit thinking about the attack of the enemy. But I was home and I had cooked. It was just me and my wife home. And I'm standing in a kitchen. But after we had cooked and I was waiting for her to, she had went to the store or something, and I'm standing there when she got back in the kitchen. And all of a sudden my knee and this whole side just started hurting. It was like unbelievable pain. So I went and sat on a couch, and she looked at me. She said, well, what's the matter? I said, that quick. The doctor said that I had arthritis on this side and gave me a bunch of medicine to take that I took a couple of times. And when you start reading the side effects of medication, you quit taking it. because I'm not going to take 10 other medicines to stop the side effects. So anyway, I told her, I said, go and get me one of those pills. Well, she actually brought me three different pills that I'm supposed to take when it does what it done. And up to that point, it was pretty intense that whole week at my house. And, you know, I was studying to go get my captain's license. And all the studies went fine until I got to plotting. You go talk to anybody that got a captain's license, they don't complain about nothing on a test till plotting. My wife will tell you, I got to the point I packed up all the books and I was about to go burn them outside. So I don't even know why I started this. I'm done. Because absolutely nothing that you study makes sense. Now, if you ain't never been on a boat, it'll make sense to you because you think that's just how it's got to be. But when you've been on a boat all your life and you know, I'll never use this, I don't need it, but I got to have a piece of paper for somebody to tell me after being 55 years old. I've been on a boat, running a boat myself since I was 11. Now I need somebody to give me a piece of paper and tell me I'm a captain. That'll frustrate you. So anyway, I took the pills and I'm sitting on a couch and my wife went to the bedroom and as I'm laying there, all of a sudden, the Spirit of God showed up. And he said, son, you can do this with me or you could do it without me. He said, but I suggest, see, God will give us a choice and also give us the answer. He said, I suggest you let me help you. So I'm just laying there and I don't know at what point she even came back out the room. But I began to just think about how good God is. And somewhere in between that point and me actually going to bed, I fell asleep on the couch. But I got up and got up the next morning, grabbed the books, and I was supposed to test that night. And I went over everything. Just started like I never done it before and got to the plot. And it was like, we called the school and the man's like, don't. He said, before you let yourself get to the point you're on now, call me. So that's what I'm here for. See, my schooling was through the computer. But you could call the guy, and talk to him. He's the head of the, he owns the school and he is the head guy to teach. But he sat there and he said, you know, if you'll call me, he said, I can look at what you're doing and tell you where you messed up. But see, what I done, I got frustrated. So after talking to him, I got the chart out and I started plotting. Started plotting, and we got stuck on one question. And actually, by the time I was done, I made 100 on it, but I didn't have enough time to drive to Harvey to take the test, so we missed it. So we ended up in Savannah. And the reason, see, not only in spiritual life, but in physical life. The reason we have to use knowledge, wisdom, and understanding is because it'll help us in everything we do. See, I got to Savannah, and evidently we got there at the wrong time because it was wild. It was dark, and it was wild. There was people all over the place. I'm like, what in the world am I doing here? So we get to the hotel, and after we kind of took a wrong turn, and finally we got back to the hotel, and I told my wife, I said, if we eat, we can get somebody to bring us because I'm not driving in this. Then you get up early in the morning and the whole town's dead because they all still sleeping from the night before because they just went to bed. But if you go to Savannah, go in the daytime. You'll get a chance to go around town and not have to go around people. But anyway, I got there and they sent me an email before we got there, said what I had to bring and what they would have. Well, there's a light list and there's all the formulas you need to go over questions to pass the test. So we get there and everybody was there a little bit early. So we started to take our test early and I went and grabbed my first test. I took it, brought it up, and it was four parts. So when I got to the plotting, everything's laying there. My test was touching the stuff I needed to get me through that test. I just grabbed the test, my chart, and I had my tools on my desk and on the table and never grabbed the light list and never grabbed the formulas to work out the problems for the plotting. See, I didn't use, wisdom was right there, but I never used understanding to grab wisdom. So I took all four parts and he says, you only passed one. So I looked over them. Got to the part that I missed on the plot, and I missed it by one. Had I grabbed the formula to go over what I needed to work out the problem, because I was on a going in a direction, but I never worked it out from magnetic course to true course, so it threw the whole problem off. I worked it out, but I worked it out using the wrong direction. Sometimes we get our mindset on being getting where God is, but we go in the wrong direction. When we all the time we have what it takes right here. This is what it takes to get where God is. It's all laid out right here in His Word. So anyway, we left and went to Thomaston, got back home and got an email from the school saying, hey, you have to take two parts because you actually passed two parts. Of course, the part I really wanted to pass was the plotting, but I didn't pass that, so I got to go do it again. But see, the first thing I'm going to do is grab the tools it take, grab the information. The sad thing is three of the answers is on the plot and on the chart. It's amazing how easy you find it sitting on at your kitchen table when you open up the chart. But you're in that classroom and pressure comes. And it's no different than serving God. I said all of that to say this. It's no different than serving God. You know, we make a choice. We're going to live for God. You know, for years, and I've said it. I've heard preachers preach it. I've heard preachers talk about it. You get saved and everything's going to be all right. Listen to me. I had them tell me as a teenager, you just stay in God and it's going to be like a bed of roses. Listen, the fight got so bad when I first got saved, trying to stay saved, that you couldn't even tell the rose had a stem. You couldn't even tell it was hooked to the rose bush because of the battle with the enemy to stay saved. When you get saved, unless you find yourself in the Word, unless you find yourself and spend time with God, it's going to be hard. What makes serving God easier is right here. Because He gives us a roadmap and He tells us how to do it. He lays it out. But see, sometimes, let me tell you what the Lord said this morning. We ask God for direction in our life. We ask God to come and help us. And then God sends a pastor, an evangelist, or a teacher to help us. And He gives us the Word, but because the life we're living at that moment don't line up with the Word, the first thing we do is say, who He thinks He is. What He thinks He's doing. Listen, you're going to ask God for direction in your life, be willing to take the word that he's going to send to keep us directed in the right way. You say, well, can I be in a service and miss God's word? Absolutely. I was in a service and a guy gave me a word for a man during a song service. When I got the mic, he went straight off the platform and never left the door. Went straight out the back door. So I looked at the pastor. I said, well, where's so-and-so? Oh, he had to leave. So I wish I'd have knew that earlier, because I'd have got him before he left. But sometimes we can miss the word God has for us because we get our mind stayed on something else that we have to do. And sometimes the something else is not as important as salvation or our walk with God. Sometimes we just have to ask ourselves, what's more important? But see, it don't matter what the situation is. It don't matter who we are. It don't matter how long we've been in church. God wants to lead us and guide us and direct our path. But he wants to do it with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And once we get that activated and moving in our life, then we could go to the next thing. You know, they teach it on the words of Jesus. And the Sunday before we left, Pastor preached on salt and light. Not, we don't become that. We are salt and light. According to the word of God, he says, you are the salt of the earth. What we determine is, are we doing what salt's supposed to do? Because see, nowadays, they done got all these different things going on. They could do imitation salt. Imitation salt's not salt. Listen, I was at the Dallas store and I was looking in the freezer section and it had imitation crab meat. They so ashamed of the imitation crab meat, I couldn't even find what it was made of. You know, if you're selling something and you want to promote it, you kind of talk about it. I looked at the pack. Maybe I didn't look good enough, or maybe I didn't have my glasses. But I couldn't even find what it was made of. Imitation does not compare to the real thing. And that's what the devil has to offer, is an imitation of God. Because he will never be God. He could never be God. Even though he was right there, he was right with him. He was right there next to the throne with God. And he knows everything God likes. And he imitates it close to where it actually deceives people. You know, it's like a guy told me one time, he said he had got caught on a Federal Reserve fishing. He said, I wasn't far past the signs. Well, that ain't how the agent looks at it. Whether you're a foot or a thousand foot or a mile inside the sign, you're still inside the sign. You know, and you hear people when it comes to serving, well, I just sinned a little bit. It don't matter. Sin, sin. Going against God is going against God. But see, we have to take the word and take what it says and apply it and live it out. You know, I had somebody say, well, you know, you get to go in the front and you get to speak and you get to tell people things. And listen, one thing about being in ministry, everything we say, we'll stand before God accountable for it. And not only what we say. If God gives me a word for someone and I don't say it, I'm going to stand before God and I'll be accountable for that too. So sometimes it's not just what you say, it's what you don't say. And, you know, we've learned over the years, in, you know, going to different places and, you know, this last time we were in Georgia, I called out people that I've never seen before. Just, and I'm like, Lord, are you sure? You know, when God gives you a word and then you right before you say, hey, come up here, you kind of take a step back and say, okay, Lord, are you sure this is you? You know, because sometimes you give people stuff that changes their life forever. But that's what the word wants to do. God wants to change our life forever. He wants you and I to have the full assurance that whether the preacher shows up or not, whether somebody calls and gives us a word or not, whether somebody comes through and gives us a word or not, it don't change who God is. We can't let situations in our life change who God is. The moment I preached this message one time, and I don't even remember. I think I was in Gulfka, Alabama. Took me a long time to say that word. But the title of the message was, if your storm should not change who God is. Because everybody goes through storms in their life. You know, and I think about this little hurricane, and, you know, I told my wife, I said, I ain't never had so many people call. I think at 10:30 last night, they were still texting, checking on us. Had a guy call me, said, call me if I need you. If you need me, I could be there in 6 hours. I said, well, the problem is, if I need you, you can't get to me because they got the road blocked. So there ain't no sense in you coming, but we fine. No, and family members and friends from all over just kept calling. How are y'all? We praying for you. So finally at 10:30 last night, I said, we all good. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all praying for us. It means so much to us. And we good. In other words, good night. Because I'm going to bed. Don't worry, because I'm not worrying. You know, and I made this comment because a guy from down here, been here his whole life, said, well, are you leaving? He said, no, I'm not leaving. I don't need a meteorologist to tell me how bad a storm is. I look at the radar and I look at the things around and I see how it's, what it's doing. And I make my decision by that. Beside the fact, my wife made a comment the other day. I don't remember who she was talking to. I think maybe Jasmine. Of course, they called all worried about we staying. They got to Alabama. Thought they was on vacation. They ain't called mom and dad no more. But she said, listen to me. She said, we're not leaving. And we have total peace. See, one thing we were told when we were walking out of the church in Wagufka, Alabama, we was told Sunday morning and Sunday night that decisions in our life that we would make from that moment forth, we would have complete peace about it. And if there was no peace, don't make that decision. Well, we made a decision to stay. We made, you know, and there was peace. There were some people that it wasn't peace. Well, you should have just packed up your little old car and left. You know, there's people that I called the people that I met in Baton Rouge and places where we redone houses and checked on them. And the lady said, we're fine. She said, but I can tell you everybody in this community is not fine. She said, as soon as it starts raining, fear sets in. And see, if the devil could get your fear level where he wants it, He can control the thoughts of your mind. But the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear. God's not a part of fear. He's a part of love. And God don't want us to fear. He wants us to trust him. And that's what it's about, is learning how to trust God and have an understanding, a deeper understanding of who he is. And listen, you might hear something preached. You know, I've done heard preachers preach, and you wonder, well, when they snuck in my house, because the only way they could know what to say that is they had to be at my house. But I also remember saying, Lord, lead me. God, give me a word. Well, God gets the word to us through the speaker. But it don't mean the speaker was sitting on your couch. What it was he was obedient to what God said, and he repeated what God said. See, we wonder, we okay if we repeat what man says, especially if it's a pastor that got about 10,000 members. Everybody wants to repeat what he says. Listen, I've seen preachers preach the same thing these big-time preachers were preaching and act it out the same way, trying to grow their church. Listen, if God can't grow your church, you don't want the church man grows, because they are full of turmoil, they're full of confusion, and they have no peace. Well, when God builds us, when God makes us, when he forms us. You know, I made this statement in Thomaston as I was ministering to the lady. I said, one thing I want you to know, God don't throw the clay away. But God's about to take you to the potter's wheel. And listen, he puts us on a potter's wheel and he wets us. He wets his hands and he wets the clay and he starts turning it. And God cares so much about us that when he finds that rock, he finds a hard spot. He pulls the rock out and he takes the clay off the rock and he puts back on a lump. He don't throw us away. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it takes a little while. Sometimes it's painful, but he puts us back on that spin, and he starts spinning us. He starts molding us and making us the way he wants us. So if you don't remember nothing else I said this morning, remember this. God don't throw us away. Man will throw you away. Man will kick you to the curb. Man will let you down. But God will always be there if we allow him to be. If you say, well, God wasn't there in my situation, maybe it's because you didn't want him there. Because that's the only way he won't show up, is if we don't want him to show up. And then still, he'll nug. He'll come and he'll tug and he'll pull and he'll let us know, hey, I'm right here. But he'll never force himself into our life. He lets us know, I'm right here. But the only way he'll step in is if we open up and let him in. Because that's the kind of God we serve. He made us all with a self-will and a will to do. And Jesus' will was to do the will of the Father. And we need to ask ourselves this morning, what's my will? Am I here to do the will of God? Am I here to do the will of the Father? And this service probably was more different than any service you've ever been in. But let me tell you something, the same Spirit that I felt the last time we had all our song leaders and everybody up here singing, when we pressed that play on that phone and started playing that song, I felt that same Spirit. Because the Spirit of God dwells where we allow him to dwell. Let's all stand.